This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. And you may remember 2 weeks ago, the Home Ministry said that the reason why children born from Malaysian mothers and foreign fathers cannot automatically get citizenship, and the reason said was because it's a security risk, and subsequently that was criticized as archaic and sexist, including on this show by our listeners. Well, since then we have some updates.
Yeah, so that initial statement actually came from Deputy Home Minister Dato Sri Ismail Mohamed Said in Parliament, but recently there have been moves to try to change that by six Malaysian mothers and a group called the Association of Family Support and Welfare Selangor and KL.
Yeah, so what they've done is they've filed a constitutional challenge at the High Court, and they're seeking a declaration that automatic citizenship can be conferred from Malaysian mothers to their kids if they're born abroad, if they have foreign fathers, despite those things, which right now, they cannot do.
Yeah, and the group has said that the goal of this is to uphold the spirit of the federal constitution, which promotes equality and prohibits discrimination, including on the basis of gender, because currently citizenship is automatically granted to children of Malaysian men. For kids of Malaysian women and non-citizen men, they need to go through a very complicated citizenship process with no certainty of approval.
Yeah, so when we spoke about it at the time, I don't think anybody had a really full understanding of what the security risk entailed.
Yeah.
I still don't.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, actually.
Yes, and I think that there's also the question of whether or not this is, okay, sexist, yes, it's not equal, but also, is it just one of those instances where the law is failing to take into account the realities of the way people move around, the way people form families, the ways in which the world has opened up tremendously, right? It just doesn't seem to take into account all these different factors when it decides who can or cannot automatically confer citizenship.
Yeah, because according to Deputy Home Minister, the line here, the logic apparently is that children who are born overseas follow their father's nationality, which, you know, I haven't personally heard of. I think, like you said, you know, the world is changing. And I was reading back up on this, and apparently there were attempts by the former Pakatan Harapan government to try to address it. I think it was YB Hana Yeo who had formally said that they wanted to amend Article 14 of the Federal Constitution, which is probably what this entails. But we haven't heard any updates on moves to try to change that.
So we are going to be speaking after this with Chi Yok Ling, who is a committee member of Family Frontiers. Later on in the show, we're also going to be hearing from a mom whose family has actually been impacted by this. If you have any questions or thoughts, do send them our way. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:11 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. We're talking today about basically a constitutional challenge that is looking to allow Malaysian mothers married to foreign spouses to automatically confer citizenships for their children who are born abroad. We are now going to be headed over to our guest.
Yep. So we're headed to Chi Yok Ling, who's the lawyer and committee member at Family Frontiers. Yok Ling, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Could you tell us why the group decided to file the constitutional challenge at this particular point in time?
Right. Well, basically, you know, the struggle for equal citizenship rights for the children born of Malaysian women who are married to non-Malaysian and the children are born overseas. So this has been a struggle for many, many decades. So what we have arguing is that this equality of citizenship rights where we can confer to our children should apply to both men and women. Unfortunately, our constitution discriminates, and the automatic passing down of citizenship only goes to the father if the child is not born in the country, right? So many, of course, the other option that we've been told all these years is that you can apply for citizenship for those children through another part of the constitution, which is what we call citizenship by registration. Now, deciding to give or not to give citizenship under that Article 15 is a discretion of the Ministry of Home Affairs. So many, many families have tried that route, and we have been really unsuccessful. We have to wait many, many years. Then we get rejected. We don't have any reasons why our applications are rejected. So let me just give you some data, yeah? This is from the parliamentary record, because this has been actually an issue that we have brought up also, and many parliamentarians have been championing this. So a question came out in Parliament, and this was the data provided in Parliament. Between 2013 and 2018, the Home Ministry received a total of 4,112 cases. This is citizenship applications under this Article 15, yeah, which is the citizenship by registration you apply for. Out of the 4,112 cases, only 142 applications were approved. This means that if you're an overseas-born child of a Malaysian woman and your father is non-Malaysian, you only have a 3.45% chance that your citizenship application will be approved. Now, the same child, if it was the father who is Malaysian and the mother is non-Malaysian and the child is born overseas, would automatically be a Malaysian citizen. So after so many years of frustration, getting rejected, waiting until your child is 8 years old, 9 years old, or sometimes you have a situation where you had one of your children born in Malaysia, so one child will be a Malaysian citizen and then the other one born overseas is not. And it has been very difficult on children not understanding why this is the case. So because of this, in the Pakatan Harapan government time, we, our organization support group, many families and other women's rights groups, we had gone to meet with many of the members of parliament on both sides. And at that time, you know, 9 cabinet ministers came up to support us. We've had a lot of support from the press, you know, giving coverage to this issue. And we were pushing, let's say, you know, let's go to Parliament and let's amend the Constitution to take away the word father so that you put the word parent, so any parent can automatically, you know, confer citizenship. But you need 2/3 of both the Dewan Rakyat and the Senate before you can change the constitution, right? But we were prepared to do that. We were launching a campaign, and this has been for many, many years, this trying to do this. So, of course, after this, nothing has happened. And with COVID, you know, so many families are so affected, so badly affected. And that's why we felt that the time has come, you know, we have to do something. So we decided to take this issue to court and to get a declaration from the court that we have to interpret our constitution to give effect to the equality guarantee.
Right. And Malaysia is one of only 25 countries in the world that still doesn't grant women the same rights as men in this area, conferring nationality to their children. Maybe you can just expand on this. Tell us more about why this needs to change.
Well, the thing is, as you say, there are only 25 countries according to the United Nations, yeah? And this is because these are the countries where the constitution discriminate against women in citizenship rights for their children. We look at some of the countries like Bahamas, you know, even Brunei, Barbados, and a few islands in the Pacific, Nepal, you know, many of these countries like Malaysia were former colonies of the UK, of Great Britain, yeah? So, you know, in a way, it is the sort of women were discriminated, not treated as equal, you know, in the 18th, 19th century when all these constitutions were being formed. And so the same thing happened to many of the countries that became independent after colonial rule ended. So, but many countries have actually changed their laws, like Indonesia. Indonesia actually changed their law in 2006 to have nationality be equally, given by both mother and father. Now, what is interesting for Malaysia? Why these other countries? Some of them are very conservative. Many of them are in the Middle East and others. But most of them, we would say, are actually because they have inherited colonial constitutions that had these provisions, and the governments, you know, since then have not made any move to change. Although in many countries, campaigns like ours have been going on. So in Malaysia, what is interesting is that in 2001, the government at that time actually went to Parliament and we amended our constitution in the section on fundamental liberties, right? This is your human rights section of the constitution. So Article 8 is where we have what we call the equality, the fundamental liberty of equality. And it says that no person in this country, all right, living in this country, shall be discriminated on the basis, among others, of gender. Okay, very clearly. So the word gender was put in. So this is a constitutional guarantee in the fundamental rights or fundamental liberties section of our constitution, which is very foundation, the very foundation of our constitution that guarantees us our rights. And there we are promised equality, no discrimination on the basis of gender. Malaysia is also a party to an international United Nations treaty. This is the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination against women. It's called CEDAW, C-E-D-A-W, right? And so when we join that treaty, we actually guarantee also to implement equality for women. But Malaysia did not change the citizenship part, which still discriminates, and actually put in a reservation in this treaty when we joined the treaty. Now, this thing about the parent, only the father can transfer citizenship, is tucked away in the schedule, you know, like an annex to the main provision of citizenship, right? So we are arguing that the fundamental right of equality, of non-discrimination based on gender, that's the starting point. And all other parts of the law, including the Constitution, that goes against that equality provision has to be declared to be in line. Because it is absurd. Though on the one hand, we give you a guarantee of gender equality, and on the other hand, we take it away, right? So we are asking for the courts to give a declaration that we have to interpret our Constitution to give primacy to the equality guarantee in Article 8. So in ASEAN, you know, the only two countries is Brunei and Malaysia that have not, you know, that still have this anti-women citizenship laws.
Right. And could you talk to us about the practical implications on women and their families that result from this inequality in citizenship rights?
See, unless you come home to have your baby, okay, your child will not be automatically a Malaysian, right? Because there are two ways to get citizenship. What we call operation of the law, which means automatic. And that every one of us should have the right men or women to pass our nationality to our child. Now, of course, a country may not recognize a dual nationality. Some countries recognize, so you can have both the father and the mother's nationality, so you have two passports. Some countries don't recognize. But in this country, even then, they do say that you, until you're 21, you can have two. Then you have to decide at 21 which you want to give up and retain. That is a choice you have if you don't want to give dual nationality. But what we are fighting for is to say, from the beginning, there should be an automatic right so that we automatically are citizens if our children are citizens if they are born overseas of Malaysian mothers. Okay, you know, because of this inequality, many women who know that this is the issue, many of us don't even know we are overseas. We get married, and today the world, you know, how many families are transnational? We go overseas to study, we work, we get married, we have babies, and then in the end, we may all want to come back here to contribute to this country. Many of these women and their families are professionals. They want to come back here. They want to contribute to the economy of the country, to be professionals here as well. And then suddenly they finally have no rights because their children cannot come back. So for a lot of people, they actually choose to come back. But even without COVID, for everyone to come back every time they want to give birth to a child, it's not so easy, right? You may have your job. You have to come back like 3 months or whatever before your baby is due because you can't fly when you're close to the time your child is to be born. Or you could have other smaller children. You could have your work. So it is really difficult to be able to get that citizenship, you know, by having to fly back to have your baby here. Okay. And then we have also many situations where because these children were born overseas and the marriages have broken down, right? We have a lot of family cases where the woman is forced to stay in a toxic, abusive marriage because if they were to get a divorce, their child being non-Malaysian will not be able to come back with them. And you have a situation where the father doesn't care about the children, right? Or they stay in marriages and they suffer because of this issue of nationality. And after they get divorced, then they realize, some of them get divorced first and then realize, oh my God, I can't bring my child home except through a tourist visa and then maybe apply for 6 months extension and with uncertainty. They can't, in this case, even if they come back under some kind of residency or social pass or anak warga negara permit for 6 months every time you renew, you can't go to public schools, you cannot go and have public hospitals. So not everybody is rich. A lot of people are just working class, right? You know, so you expect them, even people who are doing quite well in their jobs. Imagine how much it costs to spend money on international school or private school for your children. It's terrible. So all those other options, you know, because of the fundamental inequality and discrimination about citizenship, creates a lot of hardship. And so when we see so many cases, you know, our support group have been helping so many families even before COVID, but with COVID, it just exploded. And we felt that this is just so unfair, so unjust. It's time at least to correct some of the fundamental injustices.
So recently, Deputy Home Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Mohamed Said spoke on this issue in Parliament, saying that the government will maintain its reservations on the citizenship rights of women, citing national security concerns and the risk of children having dual citizenships. What are your thoughts on this reason?
That was unbelievable. You know, you've seen the reactions. It's not just us, you know, the families who are affected, who were so appalled and so shocked. It has actually triggered so much. I mean, from the Suhakam Commissioner on Child Rights to, you know, lawyers' organizations, the Bar Council, other members of Parliament, you know, there has been so much reaction just from ordinary Malaysians in social media, as you would have seen. It is totally ridiculous, you know. I mean, what is the logic that if it's a Malaysian mother married to a foreigner, the child is born overseas, that is a national security threat? But if it's a Malaysian father in the reverse situation, there is no issue of national security threat. If my child were born here, the same family, but I came back to have my child, there is no national security threat. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know. It was, we have no idea what the logic of that statement is. And there's been no forthcoming explanation to expand on that from the deputy minister. So we totally reject that reason. And this is the other thing, you know, when you apply, you know, for the citizenship by registration, right, under the other provision of the Constitution, there's no time limit. They don't, you know, you fill up a lot of forms, you submit all the documents, and then you keep asking them, you write to them, and then they say this takes a long time to process. And then there's a standard letter when you get rejected. They never tell you why you were rejected in the one you apply for, the other one, okay, the other citizenship pathway. And then they don't tell you, and then they say, okay, you can reapply. And then you say, tell me, you know, this is really cases that have come back to us from these families. And then they tell these families, you can reapply. You know, they say, but what have I done wrong? Were there missing documents? Did I follow some procedure wrongly or did not do something? Tell me, what is it that I can do right so that I can actually, you know, apply and get it for my children? And they say, oh, no, just the same, just apply the same thing, you know, send back the same things. So what's the logic of that? So completely untransparent, no reason given. This is, for us, the use of discretion that cannot be accepted. This is an abuse of discretion. So we say no more, right? This is not the way to do it. And that's why we think that the deputy minister's reply is totally bogus. It's actually quite, I mean, it's quite silly. It's insulting to all these families.
Mm. Now, in closing, Yuk Ling, could you tell us more about how the pandemic has further complicated the situation? And what's your final message on why this matters?
Now, for many of these families, once they were aware of this problem, they choose to come back to have their child so that the child is born here, right? These Malaysian women. And you know what happened during COVID? During COVID, because the borders were closed, and if these women came back, they could not, their husbands couldn't come back with them. If they had other children who are non-citizens, they can't come back. So they choose not to come back because they cannot be separated from their families and they can't come back and have the babies alone. Other women had already come back, and then the family, the father, the husband and the other children were supposed to join them. And then because the borders were closed, they could not come in. So you have had so many families going through a lot of emotional and psychological trauma during the period of COVID, yeah, because of this. And there are many other issues around immigration, etc. But this was really... So for us, it was the last straw. We have tried to go this way, that way. We have even applied for discretionary citizenship approval. And we said, no, this is our right. And this is why we decided that, you know, this is the moment for us to actually go to the courts. And once and for all, not just for a few women and a few families, but for all women in this situation, that we all have a right to pass our citizenship to our children.
Yuk Ling, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Chi Yuk Ling, who's a lawyer and committee member at Family Frontiers. After the news, we'll be hearing from Wai Lee, who is a Malaysian mother, and she'll be sharing her experience with us. If you have any thoughts, send them our way and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is just about 5:37 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. And we've been spending this hour looking at a constitutional challenge that has been filed by a group called the Association of Family Support and Welfare Selangor in KL, as well as six Malaysian mothers. And this is going to the High Court. What they want is a declaration that automatic citizenship can be conferred from Malaysian mothers to their children if they're born abroad and have foreign fathers. Or in other words, just equality, right? Yeah. When it comes to how the constitution is applied.
Yeah, and we've been asking you for your thoughts, and we've got a message from Niza on WhatsApp who says, "Hi, I'm interested to discuss this debate. I'm a divorce now, a Malaysian woman, but trying to get citizenship for her kids. It's been 11 years now, and I'm still waiting for the application status. It's been rejected a few times and had to reapply as the kids stay with me. And I agree why the men can, you know, Malaysian men can pass this citizenship to the kids, but not for women. The rejected letter didn't give any reasons to why they rejected the application. It's also difficult for kids to continue their studies as they can't get a scholarship or beasiswa. So they're not interested in continuing their studies."
Yeah, I think that Niza's message is really bringing home the different ways in which this can manifest, right? Because I don't know. Well, sometimes when I hear what the government, or not necessarily the government, but when I hear what systems have to say, you know, whether it's associations, politicians, whatever, I do think that the world sounds very neat in those terms. It's as if everybody can easily fit into very specific categories, and that is what makes it easy to look at issues like policy. But messages like Niza, and I think our next guest kind of really highlight the fact that life is life. You know, there are going to be these things where, I mean, just imagining the difficulty of trying to apply for citizenship for your children, all the ways in which you get roadblocked when you don't have that, and to not have a reason for why that's the case is so deeply frustrating.
Yes, and so I actually looked up the components and the items you need to apply for citizenship. So according to the Malaysian Consulate General in Los Angeles, it looks very basic. I mean, there are like 7 items. You need a borang, something called a borang B. You need birth certificates, marriage certificates. You know, you need a passport and MyCut. I mean, it looks very simple. And I think that really is like one of the most... just reading Niza's message just makes me frustrated because, you know, that reason that there isn't a transparency, there isn't a transparent process to explain, you know, what you need to perhaps make it successful the next time, you know, the next time you apply.
So we wanted to continue this conversation. Keep those thoughts coming, though. You know, fundamentally, should Malaysian mothers have the same rights as Malaysian fathers to be able to automatically confer citizenship onto their children, even if they are born abroad, even if they are born to, even if one half of their parents, you know, is of a foreign nationality? You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we have on the line with us Wai Lee, who is a former national athlete, and she is one of the Malaysian mothers who is filing this constitutional challenge against the gender bias in our citizenship laws. Wai Lee, thank you so much for joining us. Could you share your experience of how these laws have affected you?
So my husband and I, we lived in Hong Kong and we had a child in Hong Kong. We thought that it would be easy for us to, you know, when we move back, get citizenship for my son. But if we knew that it was going to be difficult, I would have come back to Malaysia. So we were told by the immigration, at the consulate of Malaysia in Hong Kong, that we can actually apply for citizenship and it won't be a problem. So that's why when we moved back in year 2016, but prior to that, we have already applied for the citizenship in Hong Kong, and we moved back. And we still have not got any answers from immigration when we were going to get our citizenship. And after many times of going to immigration to chase, we found out that, oh, your application has been rejected. So if you want, you can reapply, but not giving us any reasons why it's been rejected. So we moved back here because we want to make Malaysia our home, and this is our permanent home. We've been living here since 2006. It's been 4 years already. And we had to go to the immigration every 6 months to get my son's social pass renewed.
And how has that affected your family? I mean, having to go back to the immigration department every few months.
Okay, it's just very stressful because especially now during the CMCO period, for example, my son's visa expired just at the start of MCO and I could not go to renew it. So, and once when we were able to go to immigration to get it renewed, there were so many uncertainties, right? We had to queue up at immigration and to bring my son along, which is not ideal. And when I went to the immigration to check with the officer, how can I get this done? The first thing the officer told me at the gate was, send your son back to where he belongs. Send him back to his own country. I'm like, I was almost in tears. I asked them, I said, look, my son is not even 6 years old. How do you expect him to go to, where is he going to go? Because we live here. My husband works in Malaysia. We all live here and he's got no country to go. Where, I said, tell me where is his country? He has an Irish passport, but he has never lived in Ireland. He was born in Hong Kong. And when he's 2 years old, or not even two, we moved to Malaysia and we live in Malaysia. We have been here since. So, yeah. So, and then he's like, but yeah, now you can't renew. You got to ask him to go back to his country. It's like, what can I do? I mean, I'm getting this kind of remarks from the officers at immigration. It doesn't help. So finally, I managed to find out the process to go apply for an appointment to go to immigration to get all this sorted. So, and just to get an appointment to go to immigration is not even easy. So I have applied for several appointments. I've been to immigration a few times from probably July until now. I've been to immigration 3 or 4 times already just to get his visa renewed.
I guess, you know, I also wanted to get your thoughts on the Deputy Home Minister's recent response on this. Basically, we've said it already, but, you know, this idea of there being national security concerns, as well as wanting to prevent dual citizenship. What were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, but the thing is, what can a child do? Like, how can a child be a threat to national security, right? So it's just for, I mean, the thing is, I've got a friend who had a child in Singapore, right? Husband is foreigner, she's Malaysian. And she said she came back to Malaysia and she got her son has got his citizenship within 3 months or 6 months, I don't know. So I said, oh, okay, so that's not difficult. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to have my child in Hong Kong and I apply citizenship for him. And, you know, when we come back to live, he's got his citizenship. So if we didn't even think of, trying to make Malaysia our home, I wouldn't, if he doesn't get his citizenship, I'm not so bothered. But this is our home. Malaysia is our home. We've been here for 4 years already. We bought a house here. We want to put him into a local school. But next year, he's supposed to be in Standard 1. I can't even tell him exactly which school he's going to go to because he's a foreigner. I can't get him to a local school. I mean, I don't even know if we can get him to a local school. But I have just put in an application for him to go to a local school. But I won't know if he's going to get a spot in a local school until next year when everyone has started school. Then we will know. We'll find out if he gets a spot in a local school. But what if he doesn't? Then I've got to look for a backup plan. We are deprived of getting him to a local school. I want him to learn different languages, Mandarin, Bahasa, you know. So, yeah, what am I going to tell my six-year-old now that he's asking, Mommy, which school am I going to? Am I going to the same school as my friends, I said, I don't know yet. But how can I explain to him why I do not know? And everyone, you know, in his class in kindergarten talk about, they are talking about which school they are going to next year. And also we move around, we go chuti chuti Malaysia, or we go to any parks, paying parks, and he has to pay foreigner rate. We can't even go to a government hospital. We have to go private because he's a foreigner. But I'm Malaysian. He's half Malaysian.
That really is unfortunate. Could you tell us, on another note, could you tell us why you decided to be part of the group that's filing the constitutional challenge and what you're hoping for in all of this?
Well, you see, the thing is, I feel that, you know, just by me alone going to all this hassle, going to immigration, going, you know, I even went to the National Sports Council and back the Pengarah to write me a recommendation letter, the Ketua Pengarah of Majlis Sukan Negara, to write me a recommendation letter because I was an ex-national squash athlete, to write a recommendation letter to the Ketua Pengarah of Immigration so that they can pave a faster way for my son to get his citizenship. But even then, as an ex-national athlete, we don't get any priorities. Like, you know, I've done my part for the country. I've represented the country, and I'm not even appreciated for doing this. And I can't even pass citizenship to my son, who might be a potential athlete, because I want my son to follow my footsteps. And if I send him to a school, and if he's good at certain sports, he can't participate, because he's not a Malaysian citizen. You know, for example, he can't represent the country, or he can't represent the state. And if I want to put him in any local squash tournaments, junior tournaments, I can't. The only tournaments that he can play in Malaysia is the open tournaments where you allow foreigners to come to play, to participate. So this is one of the challenges as well. To answering your question, the reason why I joined this group is because I hope that, you know, by coming together with all the mums who face the same problem, we are able to get the Home Ministry or the government to at least help us, you know, do something for us. We are so hopeless in a way, and every time when we go to immigration, we get shot down. We just want, we hope, that, you know, to improve the equality for all mothers. Like I said, some people get it. I don't know how, but we don't. Why? Why are they not treating everybody the same?
Wiley, thank you so much for speaking with us. And we wish you just the best of luck in pushing this forward. That was former national squash athlete Wiley, who is one of the mothers filing a constitutional challenge calling for equal citizenship rights between men and women. We will keep you updated as and when there are developments here. In the meantime, though, if you would like to share your thoughts on this, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.